It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
Yo, police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
Yo, police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
Welcome to Speak Out for Wednesday, April 27, 2022. This should be a fun show today because I have a friend in the studio and somebody who's returning to the show. We have two principals. So I have no principals, but we have two principals in the studio. So welcome to Speak Out, everybody. John Moss is here. I can't believe I got you on the show.
I know. Thank you for having me, Paul.
You're welcome. Actually, Terry Tomlinson's going to be in next month or the month after to talk about Legacy Foundation and Bullhead.
Right.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And we should all get together in the same room, right?
We'll do a reunion tour.
Right. John and I go way, way back. In fact, I thought it was like two, maybe 3 years ago that you were a youth of the year at the Boys and Girls Club twice.
Right.
Right? But it was more like, what, 2012, 2013?
Right around there.
And we met Gonzo.
Yep.
Which was cool, from the Diamondbacks.
Yes.
And we met Ken Kendrick at the state competition. So that was quite an experience both years.
Right.
And I always get to eat at the Waffle House. That's the best part about that trip. So, as Tommy Bigelow could tell you. We also have Tamara Yates here. She's a principal at Havasupai Elementary. John is principal at Nautilus Elementary. And welcome.
Thank you.
Or welcome back, I should say.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I just can't believe you're a principal already, John. And then you're moving into administration.
Correct.
Next year. So let's get into all that. And John's also a big baseball fan. And Red Sox.
Correct.
Which is cool. You're like the probably the second most enthusiastic Red Sox fan I know, behind my sister.
Right.
My sister Trish is, it's just off the hook. But the Diamondbacks won last night, by the way.
Okay.
They beat the Dodgers.
I know. That was nice.
Unbelievable. It was like 3-3, and then they scored a couple or three runs in the eighth inning and pulled it out against the Dodgers.
Nice.
Beat L.A., right? So Arizona Diamondbacks, they're hosting the Dodgers. Last game of a three-game series today at 12:40 is the first pitch. And then we have Golden Knights hockey, Vegas Golden Knights, the VGK at Chicago Blackhawks, and that's on Sports USA Network. 5 p.m. is the start time at KNTR Sports. 94.3, 100.5, 980 AM. And then the Suns return to action tomorrow night at New Orleans, and they'll hopefully close it out at game 6. Because now it's a best of 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
So are you following Suns basketball?
A little bit. We're following it not super in-depth, but we are. We're getting excited. If they have success, we're going to start bringing it into schools and doing some spirit days to rally around them.
Oh, how fun. Cool. Yeah, that's one good thing, right? You can... Mm-hmm. Use them as a little bit of a linchpin to drum up some spirit
right.
at your school. Right, right, right. Sounds like a lot of fun. So, again, the Suns tomorrow night. I believe that game starts at 6:30. I'll have to double check that. And then the D-backs start a four-game series at St. Louis tomorrow starting at 4:45. So there you have it. All right, let's get down to brass tacks here. And John, you're no stranger to the area, obviously. I didn't expect you to be teaching or in administration in Havasu, though, because you live in Fort Mojave.
Correct.
So you make that drive every day.
I do. Door-to-door, 58 minutes.
Really?
Yep. I got it timed, I know.
He's got the coffee brewing. He pours it in the travel mug, and it's 58 minutes. But you're not originally from this area, are you?
No, originally my family's from Massachusetts, down in the... by the border of Rhode Island, Bristol County.
Oh, okay. See, my family's the other side, northeast.
Right.
Lowell area.
Okay.
Like where Mike Lowell was from. You remember Mike Lowell?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Great player. So then when did you move to the tri-state area?
So we originally moved out here in 2001, and then my family moved back to the East Coast, I say, to watch the year of New England in sports. So 2007, 2008. Celtics, Patriots, Red Sox all had great seasons, so I always joke we went back there to experience that, live that, and then came back out, and we made Bullhead City, Fort Mojave, and Havasu now our home since.
How far back do you go as a Celtics fan?
Right around birth.
Yeah, hey, I was going to say, I remember watching John Havlicek play,
wow.
And JoJo White, and
right.
Dave Cowens, those teams, yeah, great teams, right?
Yep.
When they beat the Suns in that four overtime game, I remember watching that game. Yeah. So, but you go back as well to the crazy little leprechauns at the Boston, at the Garden.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just such a strong part of the whole culture there where
right.
you're embedded in it. It's part of who you are there.
But, so now you're at, Nautilus Elementary.
Go Dolphins. Yep, we're Dolphins.
The Dolphins, that's Tom Brady almost ended up there.
Right.
Yeah, are you a big Brady fan?
I am. It's just that winning nature. Gotta love Brady.
Well, he was a Patriots quarterback
right.
for a number of years too. Yeah. So how does we talked about it a little bit earlier, the Phoenix Suns and their success, how does that play into helping shape young minds in that with Spirit Days as you were talking about?
So we're able to use events like that going on in the community or state that kids would have an interest in just to build excitement and then get them, you know, in that coming to school, enjoying it mindset. So, you know, watching the Suns, seeing how they're going, we'll be able to tie that into like a Suns Spirit Day on their game days. And then even related to like the Cardinals when they were in town, those kind of things.
Oh, right, right. Did they stop by your school?
They did. So
really?
We had the Cardinals come by, and they hosted a camp for a little over 100 of our students, brought some football players from the high school and Thunderbolt down, and just had a great day.
A lot of fun. Which player came? Do you remember? Was it Ben Patrick?
We had, I think it was Ben Patrick.
No, there was another one, too. I can't remember. It's the linebacker. I can't remember his name right off the end. But are you doing the same thing at Havasu Pie?
No, we haven't gone there yet. I would like to. They actually, the hockey team actually has a reading program. Yeah, the Coyotes have a reading program, and we are the Havasu Pie Coyotes. So, plus, I have always been passionate about hockey. So, the teamwork, you know, you can't win if you don't have teamwork.
Are you a Yotes fan or a Golden Knights fan?
Coyotes.
Coyotes,
yeah.
you got to be a homer,
right? Yeah, I got to stick with them. Having a rough year, but I got to stick with them.
Right.
I actually come out from Colorado, and we were there when the Avs were really strong. So
right.
that's what really got me into hockey.
Look at you guys, two sports fans.
Right.
Nice. Talk about the Avs, and John's a Bruins fan, I'm sure.
Yep.
The Bruins, right?
Yeah.
They're great teams right there. So, all right. And the Avalanche have some pretty good traditions as well.
Oh, yeah. And just, you know. The teamwork, the leadership is what has always impressed me about that sport, you know. But last year I wanted to bring the Coyotes out, but COVID hit. So this is my second year at Havasu Pie. So I'm hoping to bring that in next year. But like he said, it really does help kind of rally and create community. And we do that with all of our kids that eventually will be Knights. You know, so the high school boosters are really good with coming around and building that up, and we've done the Spirit Days. We wear our purple shirts every Friday, but on game days, it's especially especially cool. But that's our school there, and the white sheet. I just happen to have it in front of me.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah, we had – that's how many people, like, wear their purple shirts. So we have a whole hillside of purple, you know. But I really have seen that that really does build community. So I would love to keep bringing events like this in. And John's been a good leader with all of that and bringing in those type of services, you know.
A lot of community involvement at Havasupai and at Nautilus.
Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about that?
Well, one of the things that we just did, John actually started it with Star Cinemas. They host a night for each of the schools that our students of the week or students of the month are able to get a free admission ticket with a Guardian free admission, too. So they're able to go out and enjoy a movie together. And we just did ours, and we had, let's see here. Well, I guess I didn't write it down. We had like 350 people there, and I have 368 students. So ours was for the whole year. He's done more of them, but that was our first time doing it. We weren't sure how it would go, if you know how many people would be involved. But 345. Yeah, so that was a huge turnout for us, and we were really excited about it, and the families really had a great time. So we're really thankful for them.
So that said, you hear a lot, especially on talk radio, about parents not getting involved, letting the schools raise their child and that sort of thing. Do you see more community involvement here in Havasu or Bullhead City than you do in most places in the small towns?
You know, I feel we do. I think there's something that comes that's very special about a rural community where there's a lot of ownership of your kids and your schools. And we've in Lake Havasu, we've been very fortunate with the community partners. A while ago, the high school hosted Rachel's Challenge, and they put out a call for folks to come in and just spend an entire day with high school sophomores. Mm-hmm. And they had people show up. They had great individuals come every single day. And there's a clear ownership and pride in this community when it comes to schools.
Refresh my memory. What is Rachel's Challenge?
Go for it.
Rachel's Challenge is a it's a program that's nationwide, but we bring it in every year to our students here. And there's a fifth grade program, middle school program, and a high school program we provide. But it's around the concept of what actions of kindness could do.
Oh, okay.
So Rachel Scott was a student at Columbine who was the first one killed that day. And this is it shares a lot about her journey, her reaction, and her vision was to impact people. So Rachel's Challenge goes around to school, shares that story, and then there's a lot of reflection about how our choices impact others, which aligns very well with where the district is going as a whole when it comes to like PBIS and safe, responsible, respectful choices.
That's really interesting how that comes around full circle, especially for you or for I with the Boys and Girls Club background, because those are bully-free campuses.
Right.
There is no bullying. I mean, even, you know, you have autistic kids. You have all sorts of children from all sorts of disadvantaged backgrounds, mostly, at the Bullhead Club anyway, and that's bully-free. So it kind of comes naturally for you, doesn't it?
Right. It's a good connection to programs like Boys and Girls Club in Bullhead or Parks and Rec up here in Havasu, just really showing kids that their choices impact others and helping them make positive decisions.
Right. Do you get a lot of parental involvement? It sounds like you do, Tamara.
We get quite a bit, yeah. In fact, it's really building. This next year is the first year that we will have an entire PTSO officer board that is all parents. It's been mostly school staff. And so we're so excited. They're really getting involved. And I think our PTSO president, Kirsten Hobday, has a lot to do with that because she came up with fundraisers that required they were events, and they required a lot of people to come in, and parents started coming in to help with those and got excited about what they were seeing. So they've gotten more and more involved. So it's really been exciting to see the growth.
John, this is your first year as principal, correct?
Correct.
Tamara, how long have you been principal?
This is my second year here.
Your second year. Are you getting any feedback from the grades above the elementary level, when your kids move on to those levels, is how prepared they are for those grades?
Every year we have both vertical and horizontal alignment, meaning that all of our grade levels across the district meet, and then we meet vertically, meaning that we meet with a team, and it could be grade level before or above, mm-hmm. or it could be bands. Toward the end, especially, we meet with the sixth grade, fifth and sixth will meet with the middle school. Mm-hmm. Middle school will meet with the high school. So we split our teams and go to the various groups. And we talk about what they need to have them prepared in and what we have done. And then we talk about any gaps that may be coming up and then how to fill those.
Wow.
So we have those discussions all the way through.
John, not too long ago, you were actually teaching at Mojave High School, correct?
I was at Mojave Accelerated.
I thought you were at Mojave High School also.
Long time ago, I did some work there.
Right,
Mojave Valley and then Mojave Accelerated.
Does that give you a better perspective, having been a teacher recently and now you're a principal?
I think it does help, just both to keep myself centered on the classroom experience and being able to support teachers that way, but also looking at the elementary school and knowing where the student should be has been very, very beneficial.
Wow, how interesting. All right, let's take a short break. Going to play, didn't have any requests today, just said... You go with what you like, so that's what I'm going to do. Let's go with some Uncle Cracker as we go to break. We're talking with John Moss. He's the principal at Nautilus Elementary, and Tamara Yates, who's the principal at Havasupai Elementary. And thanks to Tristan Jandrew for providing our guest today and Lake Havasu Unified School District. We're going to keep him on the whole hour. That's how interesting this is going to be. 854-KNTR, 928-854-5687 if you'd like to call in on Speak Out. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back on Speak Out, a little CeeLo Green with Daryl Hall from Daryl's Basement. Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise, SamsGuns.com, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, Springberg Wealth Management, and by the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis. And we do stream this show at KNTRTalk.com, and the archives are there as well. So you guys are going to be on... online, right? Don't be nervous or anything, but you'll be online for, I don't know, the next month or so. And then the Lake Havasu City app hosts our shows as well from the SoundCloud app. So those go way back. So, you know, just, I'm not saying be careful what you say, but.
No pressure.
You never know. Yeah. Right, right.
I'm thinking maybe you should have told me that after.
Good one, John. No pressure. Absolutely. And I was reminded by our previous show's host, Speak Out 2.0, that John's wife is a teacher as well.
Correct.
Kimberly, formerly Spiegelmeyer.
Right.
Now Moss.
Now Moss, yeah.
I still know her as Kim Spiegelmeyer, yeah. So there you go.
Speaks.
And Speegs, is that it?
Yep.
And then she was a former Youth of the Year.
Correct.
So there you go. Perfect. What grade does she teach?
She teaches fifth grade in Bullhead.
Okay, so I don't know. I don't remember what Kim wanted to be when she grew up, because I remember Kim from 16, 17, and
right.
that. And how did you get her into education?
So we, at the time I had been teaching, and Kim originally wanted to work in media, be a broadcaster, news type things. But she was doing different things, and I was teaching at the time, and I always really enjoyed summers off.
That'll sell it.
Right, and I always enjoyed, well, there's a lot of joy that comes from teaching, but I always used to give her a hard time knowing, you know, I get Thanksgiving always off with my family, Christmas and summers, and that was a big selling point. And then she got into it. She started subbing and fell in love with working with kids, and the rest is history. She loves what she does, and she's great at it.
I always wondered how that summer thing worked. Is that an option pay-wise? How does that work?
So around here, most teachers...
Because administration, you would be salary, correct?
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
It's year-round.
Yeah. Okay.
And teachers are salaried too, and most teachers get their pay spread out throughout the entire calendar year, not the academic year. But there are opportunities for them to come in and work things like summer school to pick up some extra pay, but also serve students year round. Mm-hmm. So in Havasu, we do have a wonderful summer school program that we're really excited about, and it's grown quite a bit this year.
Yes, it
what
has.
A segue. Jamie Festadega wanted us to talk about summer school a little
right.
bit. Go ahead.
And as a district, again, we're really excited about it. We've been able to open opportunities for kids. We know coming off of COVID and a lot of other things, there's things we can do to better support them. So this year, and I think this is the first time every elementary school in Havasu, Thunderbolt, and Lake Havasu High School will be offering summer programs. Mm-hmm. So every student from the little ones coming into kindergarten to our kids going into senior year have opportunities this summer to get support in math, reading, and whatever they might need. So we're really excited. Part of that, too, that I love that Havasu offers is a kindergarten boot camp.
Yeah.
What?
So
those what is
really
that?
Neat. Can I?
Sure.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So for the kindergarten boot camp, it's really about preparing them. Our standards today are not like they were when you and I were in school.
Really?
So we really need to have their brain ready, and we need to have them ready to do school. So it's really about teaching school behaviors, and it's also about working together and taking turns, because that's a new one for kinders.
That would be a new one for me. Yeah, no, kidding.
And then developing those fine and gross motor skills, because they need those to be able to do a lot of the activities and do a lot of things that we require at school. So it's about learning the teamwork, learning how to do school, how to be in class, what the environment's like, what the expectations are, and already getting to know some friends, because that is huge.
The
socialization is a huge
right.
part. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, right? Are we still teaching writing? Are we still teaching printing and cursive in that? Or is that going away, as some people fear?
No, we are. Okay. It did technically go away. It's not in the standards. But we still teach it because it's important.
School.
Yes, in our school district, we do still teach it. So they, it is a part of our curriculum. It's not as heavy as it used to be. So we put it into centers and into different areas that they can practice it more. But it is taught, and then and now it's unified. It's the same. We used to have two different types. So we would do the regular print at four of our schools, and then two of our schools used what is called Danilian, which is kind of in between print and cursive. But now we're all doing the same thing. So I think that's easier, especially with the transiency. I mean, people are right. switching schools a lot more now, depending on where they're able to live, you know, and then cursive is still taught in third. So.
And to tag into that, something exciting for me coming into Havasu from the outside is knowing that a student at any school in our district, mm-hmm. if they do change, gets that same curriculum, that same instruction. So a student in my school in fourth grade who moves to Tamar School for whatever reason comes in and picks up right where they left off at my school. We have this unified curriculum that touches mm-hmm. on everything you'd want a kid to know, but it builds a big cultural competency too. So they're getting the reading, writing, arithmetic,
right.
but they're also getting this great foundation. We have second graders who know about the War of 1812 in second grade, and
holy
they can write
moly.
On it.
Yeah,
and they
it's
can talk
so
about
different.
It.
I know adults
it
that
so
don't
different.
Know about that.
Right, and then that knowledge builds throughout their entire academic career from kindergarten all the way up. I was
yeah.
in kindergarten and third grade classes, and they were learning about colonial America using very similar terminology, but you could just see how that knowledge has grown.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, because how many kids, like you or I'm sure you've seen Lexington and Concord and where the shot
right.
heard around the world was fired. And I mean, that was drilled into me as a young person at 12, 13-year-old, you know?
Yeah, I'm thinking
right.
middle school. Yeah.
Right, right, right. But then yeah. to know about the War of 1812 and the burning of the White House and things like that, I mean, that just creates more patriotism. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And right. then as they go through, like he was saying, you're hitting the same concepts, but each year it's further mastery, further in depth, deeper conversations, you know? So they're really building problem solvers, critical thinkers, mm-hmm. you know? it's really neat. I went into kindergarten a couple weeks ago, and or a couple months ago, sorry. yeah, a little different.
It all flies by.
And I walk in, and the teacher's asking the kindergartners questions, and the kindergartners are, oh, that's photosynthesis. I mean, they're going through talking about the whole process. It blows me away, the language that they're using and what they're capable of. So it's really exciting to see the growth.
Polly might need to take kindergarten all over again.
Well, we do have that kinder boot camp. We can, there's a screening, but we could try to get you in.
So before we go to break, I wanted to talk to John about, you're probably old enough to remember blackboards, but young enough to know about whiteboards, obviously.
Right.
Have you seen other changes in education in the classroom, you know, since the blackboard era, if you will?
I think the next natural transition we've seen is the introduction of smart boards or Promethean boards. So again, one area like Havasu is very fortunate is that every classroom has a smart board.
What is a smart board?
So if you think of a whiteboard combined with a computer screen, that's what you have.
Oh, so you can drag things in.
You can drag, you can
draw,
you can manipulate.
Yeah. Wow.
And we've seen a lot of teachers who will put things up there, and kids will go up and drag and draw, and the instruction is just taken so much further that way. There's a lot that our teachers are doing with it, and it's wonderful to see that technological advancement from chalk to here's a computer we're working with, and the resources they can share that way with kids are wonderful.
Wow, interesting. And it creates an interactive atmosphere,
absolutely,
too, where everybody's learning hands-on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a short break. We're talking with John Moss. He's the principal at Nautilus Elementary, and Tamara Yates, who is at Havasupai Elementary. Conversations off the air are interesting, too, because your husband is a drummer.
He is.
Steve Yates. And everybody around town knows Steve. So, all right, I'm Paul Lavoie. Speak Out. We'll continue. Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break. All right, we're back on Speak Out with a little Etta James. Love that song, Blues Is My Business. Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, Mojave Community College, also GDK LLC, SunPower by Esme Electric, Herb's Herbs, and by Thane O'Brien was spot on. Give Thane a call, 928-706-2784, or send an email to tobryan with an E at spoton.com. Back with our guests, John Moss from Nautilus Elementary and Tamara Yates from Havasupai Elementary. I'm really curious, John, how in the world do you go from, like, you went from Malk, which is, that's a pretty special school,
it
and
is
a charter school, and then now you're in the public school system. Is there a difference?
There is a little bit of a difference, but at the core, when I look at, like, Mojave Accelerated and then Mojave Valley Schools in Havasu, it's a lot of great people who care about kids. So the transition wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. But it's been, you know, I've had a lot of great mentors along the way that have helped make it.
Right. Interesting. All right, let's talk about, that's kind of the elephant in the room, in my opinion anyway, the effects from COVID. Are there any lasting effects as we're in the endemic stage, apparently? And, well, that's what they say, right? The air quotes. That's what they say. So what are the effects from COVID? Are there any adverse effects from, like, parental involvement and that sort of thing, you know, that because kids were homeschooled, then they were hybrid, then, you know, then they went back to classes, and so what's happening now?
I think we actually have more parental involvement now because our communication structure is really we're riveted by it because you had no choice. We were online, or we were doing, you know, packets the last quarter in 2020, and then last year we were online for 4.5 weeks, and then we were hybrid for 4.5 weeks. So all that time, you had to keep communicating. Mm-hmm. You know, parents needed to know what was going on. They needed to be able to plan. They needed to be able to make arrangements. And so there was so much communication on a lot of different levels. So that's continued. So I think the parent involvement has become stronger. Our effects, we have gaps because people had different resources at home. They had different abilities to help their children, you know. So we have some gaps that kids have when they came back, because obviously we weren't able to do a complete year of curriculum either. So we have to figure out, you know, we've been figuring out what all those are and addressing them through Title I tutoring, through interventions at school, through parent involvement, through different clubs. Parks and Rec helps with their homework time and working with the kids. So there have been a lot like that. But then there's the other side. There's the social-emotional side. Mm-hmm. We had everybody in masks. Well, the younger kids weren't able to learn what facial expressions mean. What does that mean when somebody looks like that? What's happening? They don't read situations as well as they used to. So teaching that is really important. We also, you know, there was been a lot of frustration in parents and in kids and everything, just because of prices going up, the financial, the stress of the illnesses, the loss. You know, there's just been so much emotionally to deal with. So I think that we're going to see that for a couple years. You know, people are just now getting back on their feet. I know that a large part of the community is probably okay, but we still have a great part of our community that is struggling.
Right. Oh, go ahead, John.
I was just going to tag into that. There's some things that we've been able to offer as far as resources through federal grants like ESSER, mm-hmm. Including, you know, the summer school programs are funded by Title I and ESSER, mm-hmm. but we're also able to add things like school counselors.
Yes.
Every school in our district has one at a minimum. Middle school has two. The high school has a few on their staff. And then bring in, like, social-emotional curriculum. At the elementary schools, we have the 12 tools. And it's 12 things to help students manage those emotions and things.
Mm-hmm.
We have kids in second grade who this is their first year in a classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And that's strange. It's different. So giving them things like we have a breathing tool that they know how to use. They know when to use it. And having those conversations with kids from a counselor has been very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one of the things we've been able to offer through ESSER to help offset some of those changes that came from COVID in the past few years.
Right.
And
what's really interesting, I think, Tamara, is the leadership from the top. You know, there was always this rush to get kids back in the classroom, which seemed to be the priority from Dr. Becky. Would you agree?
Absolutely. It's so important. We're watching schools in other states that are just now coming back.
Right.
Like a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And I cannot even imagine. I mean, what have the families done? What are the kids doing? It's so detrimental. You know, they need structure. Not that they're not getting that at home. Don't take me wrong. You know, but they need the routine, and they need to know what the expectations of the different environments are. That's huge, you know. So I think that it's a really strong point of the district having been in school for the majority of the time. And our community has completely stepped up. We have Havasu Community Health Foundation, who does SAP groups. We've done groups on friends, on loss, on caring and making connections. You want to add to that, huh?
Go ahead and then
okay.
I'll tell you.
And then Mojave Mental Health, Southwest Behavioral, they've really been inundated, you know, but they're doing a fantastic job, and we're all trying to work together to support our students and their mm-hmm. families. And then Arizona Children's Association has just come into another grant, so they're extending services. A lot of services in the area had only been for kids 0 to 5, so elementary was kind of that no man's land. And this year, we've really worked with the organizations and agencies in the community to open up services for our elementary kiddos and their families. So that's just been huge. I can't say enough about these organizations that are taking the time and commitment to be a part of that team and support everyone.
Do you want to play on that, John?
And that was a lot of what I was going to say. The only thing that I would add is just a shout-out to our staff at every single site.
Yes.
both the transition for them was very, very challenging, but the way they've responded with so much compassion and empathy for these kids is so impressive and wonderful. Havasu has an incredibly professional staff, and I don't just mean teachers. I mean from office staff to custodians to bus drivers. This community in the schools and outside of the schools really cares about kids, and they want to do what's best. And having kids in the classrooms lets us provide that differentiated instruction, meet kids where they are, collect that, and it's I love this area.
Did you know that coming into this community, John? Is that something that drew you here?
So when I first applied, I didn't know that. And then as I did my research, I came up, visited a school or two, and stopped at a few places in town, just asked about schools. Mm-hmm. And that's what I heard consistently from community members, people at sites, everywhere. Just this is a top place. And, I mean, both students and community support that, but the data from school supports it too.
So I don't know if your ears were burning as of late, but John's a longtime Kiwanian as well, and I've mentioned you several times. I mean, we're still waiting to get John into the fold at the Kiwanis of Lake Havasu City. So doors always open, and you're welcome. That's like three free lunches, and then you make the decision.
All right.
That's always important, right?
Yes, it is.
All right. So anyway, the number 854-KNTR-928 854-5687 if you'd like to talk to Principal John Moss or Principal Tamara Yates. It seems like you two work really well together, even though you're at different schools. Is that true for all of the schools in Havasu?
Yeah. I mean, we're
all the principals.
We're pretty tight.
Like from Scott Becker on down?
Yeah. We meet regularly, and if anybody has any questions or somebody's trying something new, we all share and talk about it and see how we can benefit our kids, our staff, and our student or our families.
Interesting. You know, when I first thought we were going to be just talking about Nautilus, and now we're talking about both schools, and which is pretty interesting because it's a wider net, you know. And you know, speaking of Principal Becker, and that he used to be a basketball coach.
Right.
Do you have any aspirations for coaching?
So I've coached in the past. I coached soccer at Mojave Accelerated. Was AIA Coach of the Year.
You were?
I was.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow.
Is there anything you don't do, John?
There's lots of things.
Oh, I can see you being a really good coach.
Yeah, and I fell in love with soccer through AYSO and Bullhead, and there's the Havasu Soccer League up here. I coached basketball a little bit, loved it, and you'll find some great people who have been coaches who got into administration. Scott Becker, Marsha Becker, who's the CTE director. Roger Berger, who was at Nautilus before me. He's in the AIA Hall of Fame, which is a whole new level.
I call him Burger Hut. He used to be a regular on the show.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's been really nice to have those little connections, like Tamara was saying, how close-knit the administrative team is here. It's great to be able to join that and know that, you know, when questions come up, the answer is a phone call away.
Yeah. Right. Interesting.
Definitely.
So we touched a little bit on enrollment, Tamara. You've seen enrollment increases, you said. And when did all that start?
A little bit last year. I mean, it was down because of COVID.
I was going to say, you must have taken a hit,
people
right?
Went other. Oh, yeah. Online programs were really big. But then I think the discovery of, oh, they need the socialization, you know. So we've been seeing them coming back. And, I believe I'm up about 30 students this year.
Oh, interesting.
From what I was. So
what about at Nautilus?
Nautilus has been pretty steady. So there was the hit that a lot of schools took, and then we evened out, came back up to where we were. So we sit right around 400, and I think you're pretty close.
We're at 368,
360, yeah. So we've been steady. There's those students that go between schools or leave, but you always have new ones coming in, too.
Interesting. Very interesting. So, okay, John, this affects you directly, as we talked about earlier. You're commuting from Fort Mojave because there's a bit of a housing shortage in the area, of course, and even for working professionals like yourself. Is there anything, I don't know, are there any options? Are there any other teachers that are facing this? Is it affecting recruitment efforts for new teachers as well?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's tough to get those people who can come here and afford to teach in this community. It's not uncommon for us to have applicants that are wonderful and we want to bring here. And then once they start looking at things like housing costs, rental costs, they have to back out. So we have some partnerships in the community with different rental agencies and community groups to help us get them resources and get into meaningful and appropriate housing.
Right.
But it is a challenge in the recruitment area. And I feel like our school district has so much to offer them as far as like our 3-year new teacher induction that's award winning in the state, one of the best I've ever seen.
Really? What is that?
So it's a program for new teachers coming in, new to Havasu teachers, where for the first 3 years they're paired up with a veteran teacher of our district, a mentor, and they have professional developments they go to over the course of 3 years. Hmm. 1 year is like instructional basics,
and management.
Then it's another year on strategies and things like that, and then like goal setting and long-term planning, where we really take them through not only how to teach in Havasu, but great practices and things that benefit kids. So from the day they get here to 3 years in, there's so much support we can offer them, but we have to have housing for them.
Yeah.
And that's a challenge for us.
Yeah, right. And you're a homeowner in Port Mojave, which makes it an even more interesting challenge because you have to sell one and get into another, plus your wife works in Bullhead City.
Right.
Does that mean a transfer for her down the road? And by the way, hello, Kim. I understand. I understand she texted you and said somebody heard her name on the air. So.
She didn't. I think she's listening in now.
Oh, she is. Okay. Perfect. So does that present another challenge for you? Because you have to sell one and then buy here and the inventory's so low. It just goes on and on and on.
Right. And thinking of my own personal example, there is the challenge of listing it there and selling it, which we wouldn't be concerned about. But then there's a price difference between Fort Mojave housing and Lake Havasu housing.
Yeah, explain that. You were telling me that earlier.
So our housing there, there's similar quality properties with yards and all that, similar apples to apples.
Right.
There's about a $200,000 difference from what we've seen and explored between
the
two.
Yeah.
$200,000. That is a big difference when it comes to buying and selling a house.
Yeah. Right.
That's
why people are struggling to move in, because when they have to find it, and even rentals, I mean, $1,200, $1,500, and, you know, what the teachers just, we've been increasing every year. Mm-hmm. We've been doing everything we can to make sure that we can offer them enough, you know, but it is very difficult for them to find housing and be able to maintain it.
Is this affecting faculty at your school as well?
It is, because some of them do rent, and as their rentals are, or as their lease agreements are coming up, or as they're selling the houses that they're living in, they're being forced to get out within 30 days, and they can't find places to live. So I do have several that were in motels for a while because they, one, couldn't afford anything, and two, couldn't find anything.
Right.
So, and these are people who have jobs and good rental histories, and, you know, and it's hard for them. So, yeah, it's definitely been a challenge for recruiting.
Well, and to complicate that, John's case, you have two kids?
So we have one that we've adopted, our daughter Layla, 4 years old. Love her so much. And then we have some foster kids, one little foster guy with us.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Amazing. So did we want to touch on the Evening of Excellence at all?
I haven't gotten the dates back.
Okay.
I know that ours... So the last week of school, or the last couple of weeks of school, we have a lot of events coming up. The Evening of Excellence is for students who have had either straight A's for the President's Award or A's. They also have to have scored well on the state testing for when...
That's
when we did it.
That's a K-12 Foundation event, correct?
Yeah, I believe that they help support it.
Okay.
K-12 is so active in the schools.
Right, right.
Yeah. And I am trying to look up when.
Oh, let me tag
in. Did you find
here.
It?
Yeah. So
good.
There's three nights for Evenings of Excellence. The first one is May 10th, and that's Havasu Pie, Jamaica, and Smoke Tree at 7 p.m. on the football field at Lake Havasu High School. The next night, May 11th, is Thunderbolt Middle School. And then on May 12th is Nautilus, Oro Grande, the classical school, and Starline. And it's an opportunity for us to come together and celebrate those students who have been achieving, performing, and doing absolutely incredible things for the past few years.
Look at that. Teamwork
makes
the dream
work. Do
you know
when the high school is? I think it's either the 9th or the 13th.
I don't have that date.
Somewhere in that time frame. There
yeah,
you go.
It's that week sometime.
Right, right. Second week in May. Perfect.
Yes.
Right. You guys are a great team. As I was saying, teamwork makes the dream work. And, great team of principals here in the Lake Havasu Unified School District. Again, thanks to Tristan Jandrew for helping to make it happen. And thanks for coming in, John Moss and Tamara Yates, two principals, one at Nautilus Elementary, the other at Havasu Pike. Great job, you guys.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a quick hour, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's a very quick hour. All right, back with more in a moment. We'll have a couple of announcements, and I'll be right back. You're listening to Speak Out. I met this chick, she was my number one fan. She took me home to meet her mommy and dad. They took one look at me and said, oh my God, get a haircut and get a real job. All right, great show today, and John Moss and Tamara Yates want to remind everybody interested in summer school, no matter what grade, what school, or what level, you need to contact the school office, the administration office. Get your paperwork in as soon as possible. So all of those dates and that are also available on the district's website. All right, on tomorrow's show, we've got Angela Foltz coming in. Brian Springberg will not be on tomorrow, but Angela Foltz is coming in from Western Arizona Senior Living. And it kind of lines up with what Brian always talks about, what you're going to do in your retirement years. Well, Angela will give you some ideas, and there's some programs that help seniors that might need some help with retirement. And also, Russ Mascari is coming in. He's going to give us a little veterans update on what's happening around the area, services for veterans, and that sort of thing. And don't forget, on Friday, we've got County Assessor and County GOP Chair Jeannie Kench coming in. Jeannie's already confirmed as well. She'll be in on Friday in the studio, and we'll take your calls and that sort of thing. All right, until tomorrow, I'm Paul Lavoie, living the dream in Lake Havasu City. Sean Hannity up next after news and a short break. I'm 10 times richer than my big brother Bob.
He's got a haircut. This is KNTR Talk, AJJJ HT2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.